May the joy of Christmas still burn brightly in your hearts today and always as we continue to be amazed by God's love come down to earth to us in Bethlehem's manger, dear fellow redeemed. I first of all bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ in St. Stephen congregations in the Bay Area and also throughout California. And contrary to what you may have heard on the news, there are still brothers and sisters in Christ in California. Our sermon text for today as we continue our celebration of Christmas is one short verse from Colossians chapter 2. We read verse 9, and unfortunately in the bulletin, that's actually Galatians 4, 4, and 5. So this is the correct sermon text for today, this short verse. For in him, that is in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'd like to begin our sermon today with a little visual aid. I'm going to pour this very full, very steaming hot pot of coffee into this little cup. And I'm going to pour the whole thing into this little cup. Actually, can I get a volunteer to hold the cup for me? No takers? Okay, well, here I go. I'm not going to do it. The point is, you can't fit this entire supposedly steaming hot pot of coffee, there's no coffee in there, into this little cup, right? It's impossible. The illustration is that the miracle we are thinking about at Christmas of Jesus becoming, or God becoming man in Jesus, is like trying to fit an entire pot of coffee into a little cup. The difference being, God is infinite. So picture this giant pot of coffee being infinite and this being a mortal human body. And yet that is the miracle we celebrate at Christmas. That's the miracle we continue to celebrate, and that's the theme for our sermon this morning. If you're anything like me, what really seems to enhance our worship, enhance our meditation on the miracles of Christmas, God becoming man in Jesus Christ, the thing that really gets me into the quote-unquote Christmas spirit, at least the true Christmas spirit, more than probably anything else, are Christmas songs, Christmas hymns. And one of the great values of some of those Christmas songs that we're so familiar with, the Christmas hymns that we love to sing around this time of year, are the way that they express in poetry and music the wonder of this miracle, God becoming man on Christmas night. That miracle is described by the Apostle Paul for us in our text again when he tells us very simply, for in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Think of how profound and amazing that fact is. It's difficult to put into words. Now, this visual aid I performed hopefully helped a little bit to kind of wrap your mind around it, but let's be honest, this fails miserably in doing what the text says God did for us in sending Jesus. Often it takes more than just a visual aid. Often it takes things like artistic expression and poetry and music crafted by the skilled pen of a very talented musician or artist to even begin to grasp the miracle of Jesus' incarnation. Many Christmas songs and hymns express this miracle quite well. Others do it extremely well. One Christmas song that always catches my attention around this time of year because of some of the lyrics is the Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know? Maybe you're familiar with that Christmas song. There are some lines in it that express this miracle quite well. Mary, did you know this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Or how about the profound lyrics of the hymn that we just sang? Perhaps you paid attention to some of the verses that said words like this. He veils in flesh his power divine, a servant's form to take. In want and lowliness must pine, who heaven and earth did make. A wondrous change which he does make, he takes our flesh and blood, and he conceals for sinners' sake his majesty of God. Well, perhaps music and poetry don't do it for you. Maybe you marvel at the thoughts and words of biblical scholars and theologians whose depth of thinking can sometimes give some expression to what we know and believe in our hearts. One beloved Lutheran commentator, P.E. Kretzmann, writes about this verse that is our sermon text. He says this. He says, Paul does not merely state that Jesus is divine, that he has some attributes of God, but he says that the deity, the essential majesty of the Godhead, dwells in him bodily, according to his body. The fullness of the Godhead assumed human nature in the person, in the body of Jesus Christ. When the Son of Mary was born at Bethlehem, the eternal Word, the Son of God from eternity, became man. When the prophet of Nazareth died on the cross, God himself died, for in his body the fullness of the divine Godhead lived. The fullness of the essential deity had been communicated to him in such a manner that it partook of all the functions of the human body. Since the same Christ has ascended to the right hand of the majesty of God, it is our brother, our flesh, our blood, in whom the fullness of the eternal Godhead dwells bodily. These are all certainly beautiful and thought-provoking expressions of this wonderful mystery of Jesus coming to us as a true man in the fullness of God. Ultimately, however, this wonderful miracle is expressed best by God himself, in God's words, in the simplicity and accuracy of the scriptures themselves. Words that you probably heard during the Advent and Christmas season. Isaiah telling us about Jesus, our Emmanuel, and Matthew reminding us what that name for Jesus means. God with us. Later on in the same book of Isaiah, he says, "So he, God, became our Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them." Isaiah 63, verses 8 and 9. In our gospel reading, John told us that Jesus, the eternal Word that created all things, became flesh. He dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And again, Paul tells us in our sermon text, the baby we view in the manger every Christmas, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The real joy and wonder of this miracle of Jesus' birth is the reason and the purpose for this miracle. The reason was very simple, but it's unthinkable. God loves us. God loves us, and in Jesus he shows us his God-sized love by sending him to save us, since we could not save ourselves. And the purpose of this miracle is, once again, very accurately and very simply described in the verse that follows our sermon text. Colossians 2:10 says, "You are complete in Jesus." Because Jesus, a true man like the rest of us, was also at the same time the fullness of God, we enjoy completeness in him. We've really been given everything we need in Jesus. There's nothing else we need besides Jesus. His suffering gives us peace. His death brings us life. His life brings us joy and hope. Jesus, the fullness of God, lives in us and purchased heaven for us. There is nothing else we need. We are complete in him. Let the wonder of Jesus, the fullness of God in human flesh, fill your thoughts as we continue and wrap up this Christmas season, and let those thoughts fill your hearts and minds throughout this new year. Be like Mary on that first Christmas and ponder this miracle of the Christ child in your hearts daily. The eternal Word, who in the beginning spoke, "Let there be," and the world was, in fact, the whole universe was, now cries, his infant cries, in the manger. And one day will cry out for all mankind on Calvary's cross, "It is finished." The hands that protected Israel and slayed their enemies are now the tiny fingers of a little infant that instinctively hold and grasp as all little babies' hands do. One day those same hands will be stretched out on a cross with nails piercing them so that our sins would be taken away from us and instead nailed to Jesus on that cross. And those nail-scarred hands will be the proof of his love for us that our eyes will behold when we see him in heaven. The face of God, which even Moses was not allowed to see in all its holiness and glory, or he would have perished, is now the face of a precious little infant. That same face of this King of Kings would be encircled one day with a crown of thorns in order to earn for us our crown of life. This is also the glorious face we will see face to face in heaven. Some have found it impossible to believe that this needy, fragile little baby born in Bethlehem is completely the I Am God, that he is Jehovah. They feel that he had to become something less than what he was before he became this little baby in the manger. That miracle is simply too much for them to believe. But clearly the Bible does not say this. In our text, we're told very plainly and very simply, "For in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And by God's grace, through faith in this Jesus, this miracle is not too much for us. At the manger, while we tenderly adore this little baby, we also look ahead and see his cross. We see his empty tomb, and we bow our knee to our awesome Savior, to our King, our God, our Jesus. Amen. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.